Hello, greetings, friends. It is the weekend of Sunday, March the 26th. And today we're going to be looking at really the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, really all 1 through 34, the entire chapter of Matthew, chapter 20. We're looking at this as what was Jesus doing in those final weeks before the crucifixion and resurrection. So we're approaching what's arguably the most important and significant week in all of the year, certainly for Christians. You know, in 1 week, we'll be celebrating Palm Sunday, and then in 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And last week, we concluded a series on Paul's letter to Philemon, and then a postlude on love, which is the overarching theme of Philemon. So we find ourselves in this lone Sunday, sort of between these two things. And as I pondered and as I wondered this in-between Sunday, I wondered whether there was anything significant about the Sunday a couple of weeks before Easter. What was Jesus doing a couple of weeks before Easter, 1 week before Palm Sunday? So we read Matthew 20 this morning because we might get an idea of what Jesus was doing those couple of weeks before Easter by simply working backwards from Palm Sunday, which is discussed in Matthew 21. And here's what we find when we do that. Jesus healed two blind men. That's chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Jesus taught his disciples about the greatness in serving. That's Matthew 20, 20 through 28. He taught his disciples about his impending death in verses 17 through 19. And then in verses 1 through 16, Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom. So if we also look at other gospels and those same truths, along with a couple others that Matthew didn't report, so they come to light. He spoke with a rich young ruler about his soul in Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. He spoke with Zacchaeus, Luke 19, 1 through 10. So what was Jesus doing in the weeks and days leading up to Palm Sunday and Easter? Well, he was busy with the same activities that had marked his entire ministry up to that point. He was teaching, he was healing, and he was seeking. So first of all, Jesus was always teaching. And he went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people, Matthew 4, 23. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying in Matthew 5, 2. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Matthew 7, 29. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." Matthew 22, 16. In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me." Matthew 26, 55. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was a teacher. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." John 3, 2. The woman at the well knew that the Messiah was to be a teacher. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us, he will teach us all things." That's John 4, 25. He taught in the temple. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught. John 7, 14. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. John 8, 2. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. John 8, 2, and also verse 20. His dearest friends knew him as a teacher. And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." John 11, 28. He himself summed up his time on earth as being a time of teaching. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing." John 18, 20. His teaching amazed everyone who heard it. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Matthew 7:28. When he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" Matthew 13:54. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Matthew 22:33. He taught by parables and stories. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, Mark 4:2. He taught poignantly, boldly, never shying from pointing out error or hypocrisy. Then he said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes whose desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces." Mark 12:38. He taught as one speaking for God. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me." John 7:16. Jesus taught children. He taught the elderly. He taught men. He taught women. He taught in homes. He taught in synagogues. He taught in the temple. He taught in the streets. He taught rich people. He taught the poor. He taught the socially elite. He taught the socially outcast. He taught rulers. He taught servants. He even taught a dying man on a cross. You see, Jesus was always teaching. And a couple weeks before Easter, Jesus was teaching. So how do we respond to that? What response does a teacher want? The teacher wants our ear, for us to listen. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Matthew 11:1. The teacher wants our minds, for us to be convinced and to believe. There was a day when Jesus taught some particularly difficult truth, and almost everybody threw up their hands in disbelief and walked away. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." John 6:66-68. The teacher is not satisfied for us to simply hear his words. He wants to convince us of them, to know that we believe what he teaches. Can we not hear the sadness in his voice as he said, perhaps maybe in a low voice, perhaps almost in a whisper, "Do you also want to go away?" The teacher wants our life, for our behavior to be modified by what he taught. We've looked at lots of verses about Jesus' teaching, and all are worth pondering and thinking about. But this one we need to underline in our scriptures. So maybe just a minute to turn to it. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. And I think we have to underline that first part. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do these things which I say?" Luke 6:46. So why do we keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I see it in me. I see it in others. It's a tendency to profess belief in the words of Jesus right up until it gets hard to live according to those words. Then we tend to fall away, to stop listening. We listen to him when he says we can believe and be saved. We listen to him when he says there is a heaven that we can look forward to. And we listen to him when he says that we can pray and ask for anything. We listen to him when he says he promises us good to come. But then something comes up into our lives that hurts, and it tells us how to get through it, and he tells us how to get through it, and then I waver. Perhaps others are telling us something else, perhaps something opposite of his teaching. Perhaps the thing that he says for us to do is hard or painful, or it's going to cost us, and I recoil from it. Perhaps our friends and our families tell us the opposite, and their way seems easier, maybe even better. And that's when we really find out if the teacher has our ear and our mind, and especially our lives. Perhaps we've had some bad things happen. Perhaps we used to listen to the words of Jesus, but now some bad things are happening and we're listening to other teachers instead. There are plenty of other teachers who will jump in when we stop listening to Jesus. But we need to listen to the words of Jesus, let them drown out everything else, especially when it's hard to do so. Those are the times when we need him and his truth the most. So what was Jesus doing in those weeks before the cross? Well, he was teaching. He was always teaching. Secondly, Jesus was always healing. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and kinds of disease among the people. Matthew 4:23. He healed lepers. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:3. He healed the centurion's servant. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour, Matthew 8:13. He healed withered arms and lame legs. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Matthew 12:13. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Matthew 21:14. He healed blind eyes and silent tongues. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Matthew 12:13, verse 22. He healed many, many people of many, many things. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. That's Matthew 8, Matthew 13, Matthew 16. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. They begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Matthew 14. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others, and they laid down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Matthew 15:30. In our gospel reading this morning in Matthew, we read of his healing of two blind men, one of whom other gospels tell us was named Bartimaeus. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Matthew 20:34. Jesus was always healing. So how do we respond to that? What response does a healer want? The healer wants to heal us. I mean, really heal us, which doesn't always mean that he takes the disease from us, but he heals us. The healer wants us to bring our sickness to him, our disease, our brokenness, because he knows he can fix it. It's interesting to me how often people will hear that there is a cure and yet turn away. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, is dead today, dead from the ravages of liver cancer. He refused the treatment that could have saved him, choosing instead to try alternatives that were not accepted by really any medical community. And as his disease progressed, he reversed course on that and eventually even mentioning that he wished he had listened sooner, but the disease had progressed too far and Steve Jobs passed away. Somewhere between initially refusing the treatment and finally succumbing to the disease, he started to question his decision and asked the doctor if the treatment was still an option. And the doctor responded that it was too late, that, quote unquote, that ship has sailed, is what the doctor reportedly said to him. But Jesus has the cure for whatever is broken and hurting in our life. He was always healing. And he still wants to heal us today. And I'm not just talking about disease and physical sickness. Sometimes, often, it seems that he does heal in that way. I'm talking about any hurt, any brokenness, any pain, any loss, any grief, anything that's wrong in our life, give it to Jesus. He can make it whole. Because you see, in the week leading up to his death and resurrection, Jesus was always healing. And thirdly, Jesus was always seeking. What was he seeking? He was seeking the lost, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Who was he seeking? He was seeking the one who had gone astray. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Matthew 18:12. Who was he seeking? He was and is seeking all who are perishing and lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. Right up until the end, he knew that this was his purpose. He prayed in Gethsemane hours before the cross. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. John 12:27. Paul summed up Jesus' entire ministry this way. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. 1 Timothy 1:15. John gave a similar summation, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. Jesus was always seeking. So how do we respond to that? What response does a seeker want? Well, the seeker wants to find. The seeker wants to find us. The seeker wants us to be saved. Jesus took a long detour once through Samaria. It was out of his way to do so, but the Bible says he had to go that way because he knew there was a woman there who needed saving. And he met her at a well and shared the gospel with her. And we can read about it in John chapter 4. I share it this morning as an example of how much Jesus cared and cares about individuals. He went and still does go out of his way to seek them, to seek us. He left heaven to seek us. In the parable of the 99 sheep, he pointed out that he would have done it if only one needed saving, if only me needed saving. C.S. Lewis said, when he died in the wounded world, he died not for men, but for each man. If each man had been the only man made, he would have done no less. Jesus was always seeking, and he is still seeking. One time he looked out over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Matthew 23:37. That's the crux of the matter, isn't it? We were not willing. He sought us. And he still seeks us. He calls out to us to offer us salvation. He has done all the heavy lifting. He's done all the lifting by dying in our place on a cross, by bearing all of our sin on the cross, by taking our penalty upon himself so that we could be free from that penalty. And now he holds out his nail-pierced hands to me and you, to us, and says, "I want to save you. Turn to me. Believe in me. Trust me. Receive me as your Savior." He says, "I offer you salvation as a free gift. All we need is to accept it. Here it is. Take it." And the question is always, will we? So we started this sermon with a question. What was Jesus doing a couple of weeks before Easter? And we determined that he was teaching, that he was healing, and that he was seeking. And that he is still doing those things right now, today, in this place. So are we listening to his teaching and letting it direct our life, even when it's hard? Are we seeking out his healing for our hurt and pain, our grief, our loss, our brokenness, and our need? And most of all, have we reached out to him when he sought us? Have we received the gift of salvation that he seeks to give to us? Amen, and God bless.